Luke chapter 2, and I want you to look at two verses in this chapter which sort of serve as bookends, if you will, to the main text. We begin with Luke 2 and verse 15. You'll notice it says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven." In other words, that sudden and glorious multitude of heavenly hosts back in verse 13 that joined the angel of the Lord in verse 9, that angelic host is suddenly as it has appeared, has just as suddenly now disappeared back into heaven. That glory, and it was glorious, is just gone. But that's not all. Because after our main text in verse 20, it says that the shepherds who were then watching over their sheep and saw those angels, they then went down in haste back in verse 16, and they found Joseph and Mary and the baby. Well, these amazed the shepherds. It says in verse 20, did what? Well, look at it. It says they returned. They went back to their flocks, back to their jobs, and eventually back to their own homes. So that, note this, just like the angels who returned, the shepherds went back to the place from where they had come. They returned. So you might say everything was returning to, quote, normal. Which brings us tonight to our main text, verse 19. Look at it, would you? It says, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." Now, I don't know if you know this, but today, July the 1st, 2018, is the official second half of the year day. Did you know that? It is exactly the 182nd day of the year. Precisely halfway through the year. It's one of the reasons why they came up years ago with something called Christmas in July. Matter of fact, during the war in 1942 in Washington, D.C., the Calvary Baptist Church there held a Christmas in July service. That was a long time ago. You'll notice this month that the Hallmark Channel is going to have a bunch of Christmas movies because it's Christmas in July. So that, you know, we understand, we associate Christmas with all of these things and all of these things that we remember, just like the text we read, those things are gone. So they try to bring them back. But you think about it, the garland and the lights and the carols and the gifts, the nativity scenes, all of the seasonal reminders, if you will, of the birth of God's only begotten Son. They, like the shepherds of old, look around, obviously, and like the multitude of that heavenly host, they've returned from wherever they came from. But leaving still in its place the reality in this book and the truth and the wonder and the glory of the birth of Jesus Christ. It is a truth, the Bible says, that Mary kept and pondered in her heart. The shepherds may be gone. The multitude of the heavenly host with the angel of the Lord, they may have also left and returned to heaven. But this truth, beloved, this reality and the fulfilled prophecies was kept with conviction in the heart and the soul of Mary. And I want to say it's a reminder tonight for us to do the very same thing. The glory and the blessing of Christ's birth does not belong to December. It doesn't belong to the retailers, or to our government, or to the schools, or to the cable company, or to the courts, or to the Hallmark Channel. This truth doesn't even belong to the calendar, even though we sadly have relegated it only to the calendar. This truth belongs to the people of God to keep and to ponder long after the world has forgotten and tried to defile it. You think about Mary's resolve for a moment. Because again, long after the glory and the grandeur and this multitude of angels, it must have been amazing. Even after the worshiping shepherds were all gone, the Bible says they were out of sight. Well, the resolve that Mary had was to guard and to treasure and to keep these truths no matter what, right? And of course, as everybody here knows, it is and has been the dark crusade of this world to take what Mary treasures and to devalue it. To take the truths of Christ's birth and literally rob from every public square out there their spiritual meaning of why he came in the first place. And yes, that is precisely what will happen to you, to your children, to your grandchildren. It's exactly what will happen to your own understanding and your own appreciation if you do not keep these things that have been committed to your trust. Let me put it to you this way, beloved. The coming of Christ to this earth, to that manger at Bethlehem, was one of the single most prophesied events in all the entire Old Testament. It was first, in fact, prophesied all the way back in the Garden of Genesis when it talked about the seed of a woman. And as a fulfilled prophecy, it is powerful and spiritually significant. It is as meaningful and yet as satanically opposed as any other story in the Bible. The birth of this baby in a manger was the greatest news and the greatest announcement. It was the most profound work that God had ever done on this earth to that point. And Satan, he hates it. He hates it when people think about it. He hates it when people sing about it, when they understand it, and when they believe it. And he hates it when people keep it in their hearts, when they treasure it and guard it and value it and share it for what it truly is. And you know, beloved, it ought to be that no Black Friday or no Cyber Monday or no Green Tuesday or New Year's Day or office party or program or performance or Brawl Mart or no passing of time on the calendar ever steals from your soul the truth and the meaning of Christ coming into this world. Oh, Pastor, I know exactly what you mean. That's why every year we keep our traditions. We have 2,000 lights that we put out over our yard and on our house. Okay, go for it. That's fine. You know, we used to live in North Palm Beach Heights for 18 years, and there's a lot of, you've been there, right? There's a lot of peer pressure if you live in that place. Because we did, and I did not yield to the peer pressure, let me tell you. A few years ago, there was one house over there that was just like that. I mean, it was a stunning display. Lights everywhere, and his neighbor, nothing, except he had a few little lights that had an arrow pointing to his neighbor, and it said the word, ditto, amen? Cheap. Really, Pastor? On Christmas Eve, we gather around as a family and we read The Night Before Christmas and we sing It's a Marshmallow World in the winter when the snow comes to cover the ground. It's a time for play. It's a whipped cream day. Pastor, it's a yum, yummy world made for sweethearts. Take a walk with your favorite girl. It's a sugar date. What if spring is late? Blah, blah, blah. You know, Pastor, we keep it. We keep these things. Yeah, I don't have a problem. I don't get about out of shape if you read a poem about Santa Claus or sing a song about the sun is red like a pumpkin head. Clearly, I know all the lyrics, don't I? Just don't think that you're keeping these things just because you do that. Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. And I think it's good tonight and critical for us to remember where she kept them and how she kept them. Look again at verse 17. It says, "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." Down in verse 19. "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." Now, wait a minute. Because I don't want you to think for a moment that the word "all" is unimportant. It doesn't say that Mary kept some of these things or a few of these things or most of these things. It doesn't even say, quote, that she kept these things. Actually, that's what our society does. They keep some of it. They keep the angels and the baby in the manger, and they keep the shepherds and the swaddling clothes. They might even keep peace on earth, goodwill toward men. They keep a lot. But they don't keep all these things. including the most important things. For example, look back at verse 11, would you? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. I don't want to overstate the obvious here, but if that baby at Bethlehem is the Savior, and indeed the name Jesus means Savior, then somebody must be unsaved. Somebody must be lost. I'll tell you one of them who was lost. Chapter 1, verse 46, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. There's one reason, one person who was once lost. Mary herself. Still in chapter 1, if you look at it, verse 77, it says, he came to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of sins. Glory to God. You see, folks, because Mary kept all these things, that includes the truths of sin and of salvation. And he is the Savior, and that's not all. Chapter 3 again. Look at verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Wow, not only is this baby in a manger the Savior, he's also the anointed, the Messiah, and he's Lord Jesus, it's God. Remember her prayer back in chapter 1? Mary said, my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. In other words, look, we're not talking about a Savior of men like Nelson Mandela or JFK or Mahatma Gandhi. We're not talking about a sinner supposedly saving sinners. We're talking about God. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Charles Wesley kept all of these things. You know, if you're wondering or thinking a moment ago that it was hyperbole when we said that Satan hates the truth of Christ's birth, then I'll remind you of 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that spirit, he said, is the spirit of Antichrist. If it doesn't teach that God became flesh, Mary kept all these things. Shepherds in the field abiding, watching over your flocks by night. God with man is now abiding. Yonder shines the infant light. You know, these songs and these lyrics take on a new meaning when you separate them from the world and a radio and hear them in light of Scripture. That infant was God. He is the Savior. He is Lord. He is Christ. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And that's not all. When it says that Mary kept all these things, it includes something else. Look again at chapter 3. Chapter 2, rather, verse 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Great joy, good tidings to all people. Look at verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace and goodwill toward men. Now wait a minute. Joy, rejoicing, praising God. Did they suddenly forget that they were living under brutal occupation of a pagan empire, that they were poor and lowly and enslaved and oppressed? Verse 20 says what? It says, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things. Did they forget they were lowly shepherds? And back in Mary's hymn given in chapter 1, she says, my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. She was poor. She was enslaved. Look, whatever the physical, material, moral condition of the world, when Jesus came, there sure is a lot of rejoicing and a lot of praising going on amongst God's people for all these things. In fact, do you remember who was the very first person to demonstrate joy to the world concerning the birth of Christ? That's right. Back in chapter 1, verse 41 and 44, it says that the babe leaped in the womb. And then in hearing her voice, it says again, the baby leaped in her womb. And it says it leaped for joy. By the way, that word babe or baby in verse 44 of chapter 1, that's the exact same word in Greek and in English in chapter 2 and verse 16, reminding us, referring to the baby lying in a manger, which is a reminder that there's no distinction in God's mind between a babe in the womb and a babe in a manger. It's all the same. This baby in Elizabeth's womb didn't just leap. The Bible says leaped for joy. I mean, there's joy going on everywhere. As Mary kept all of these things about Christ's birth, she kept that part. Yes, it's true. Simeon prophesied that she would one day be pierced in her soul. And yes, as we noted this morning, there were difficult days ahead. And yes, there was still opposition and oppression and Herod and a trip to Egypt and the passing of her husband Joseph and just life in the first century in general. But there was joy. And there was also this rejoicing, this joyous truth that she kept with all of the others. For I bring you good tidings of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Say, Pastor, you know, every year when it gets close to December, I get a little stressed. It's just so crazy, busy, so much pressure and angst and stress. Really? Why? Do you have to have? Did somebody put a gun to your head every December and force you into that four-hour photo shoot that you can't afford with the kids dressed up in $100 red velvet outfit for those Christmas portraits? Portraits are going to be in the bottom of somebody's cardboard box the next year. Pastor, I gave you one of those. Is it in the bottom of your cardboard box? I should put it this way. I don't have a cardboard box, okay? Do you have to stand in line with a screaming child at the mall to see a bearded dude that you don't even know? How many random old guys during the year get to hold your child on their lap and whisper things in their ear, little promises? Let's go to the mall and find a stranger and put our little girl on his lap and let him whisper stuff to her. Do you have to? 3-hour line? Pastor, I've got to make so many desserts for so many parties. Why? Who's forcing you into all this pressure every year? Now, look, I'm not preaching against portraits or parties or plum pudding or pastries or partridges and pears and poinsettias and Prancer. Call me Dr. Seuss, okay? I'm especially not preaching against pumpkins and pudding and pies and pastries, amen? Because I have an eating disorder. When I see a menu, I disorder the fries, I want a disorder of wings, I want disorder of cheesecake, I want all the orders. So, you know, you have crazy stress and panic. It's your fault. And it is a fault. Because the world is watching Christians. And sometimes I wonder if the world thinks that we really believe this more than what they do. Mary did not sing, "My spirit hath rejoiced in Neiman Marcus." For that matter, she didn't say, "My spirit hath rejoiced in Walmart." She rejoiced in God her Savior and in the remission of her sins. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Those of you who are familiar with Greenville, South Carolina, I'm sure are very familiar with the name Joel Roberts Poinsett. There's highways, bridges, hotels, statue of him on Main Street. He was originally from Charleston, South Carolina. He's buried in Stateburg, where his tombstone just has certain words. It says, "Patriot, pure, honest Christian." In 1825, serving as the U.S. ambassador, U.S. House of Representatives, Poinsett was appointed by John Quincy Adams to be his first ambassador to Mexico. Ambassador Joel Poinsett arrived in Mexico City on December the 25th, Christmas Day, 1825. And he noticed in a church outside an exotic red flower surrounding this nativity scene. Flores de Noche Buena. How'd I do? I got a thumbs up from Ruth, all right? So don't you guys don't make fun of me. She's just being nice. She's going like this. Then when I look away, the flower of the good night. Referring, of course, to Christmas Eve. When the ambassador, who had never seen this before, asked about these bright red leaves, he was told of an old Mexican legend. It was about a young girl named Pepita who, coming to church one Christmas Eve, was weeping. She had no offering to bring, no gift. And so along the roadside, she found and gathered a bouquet of weeds. They were green. With tears in her eyes, she placed it by the manger as her gift. And in the legend, the leaves miraculously turned red. A lot of miracles in Mexico, man. I don't know what that's all about. Joel Poinsett immediately thought of the blood of Christ. And so he started sending these plants back home to his family and friends in Charleston. Eventually, he introduced the flower to the rest of the world. When finally he was recalled to Washington, by the way, again, interestingly, on Christmas Day, he brought many of the flowers there and then to Edinburgh, the Botanical Society, and wherever he could, because he said he wanted the symbol of Christmas to include the color red as the sacrifice that the baby would someday give for man's sins. Even during his lifetime, they came to be known as poinsettias. And you know, over at Walmart and Costco and Publix, obviously, you're not going to hear very much about a Savior's blood next to a display of poinsettias. In fact, you don't even hear that in a lot of today's churches, sadly. But Mary understood that this baby was born to die. The last time we see the shepherds is in verse 20, and it says they kept, and they returned with joy and rejoicing. I wonder how long they did. Well, verse 19 says, look at it, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary didn't just keep them in her traditions or in her attic, beloved. She kept them in her heart. And that is one of the reasons why 30 years later, she still followed him all the way to the cross and then to the empty tomb, so that all of her rejoicing and joy at Bethlehem was added to her rejoicing at the resurrection of Jesus. For us, all of our joy that we can have about Christmas should be added to all of our joy every single Lord's Day. Because this is Resurrection Day, until the glorious joy of the rapture itself. Let me say this and I'll close. We hear a lot about Christmas being the happiest time of the year. It's the season of joy. It's a winter wonderland. And oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. I don't know. I'm 60 years of age, and guess what? I've still never been on a one-horse open sleigh. Matter of fact, I've yet to eat any figgy pudding. Have you? I've yet to have this cup of cheer and frolic and play the Eskimo way. I don't even know what the Eskimos do when they frolic and play, but I just know I haven't done it. Oh, Pastor, you're so missing out. We'll be singing the songs we love to sing without a single stop. All the fireplace while we watch the chestnuts pop. Pop, pop, pop. Never seen it. Have you seen the chestnuts pop? How many of you have? Oh, you must be filled with awesome joy. I tell you what I have. I have peace and joy and glad tidings and goodwill this morning, and it ain't no winter wonderland out there today. Amen? I'm not saying it's hot, but two hobbits threw a ring in my yard this morning, just so you'll know. Someone said the only difference between Florida and an oven is that an oven doesn't produce losing football teams. Amen, that's probably true. There was a show, NASA was talking about where humans can live someday. And the guy said, we're going to have to rule out Jupiter because it's uninhabitable due to toxic air and heat and solar hurricanes. And I'm like, that's where I live, man. What are you talking about? This Jupiter, amen? No. In the lane, the snow is not glistening this July 1st, 2018. But neither was it for Mary or the shepherds. But they had joy. And they praised God. They saw the salvation of the Lord and the remission of sins. They had what you have tonight, what we all have, glad tidings of great joy. So I just say tonight, let's have it. Let's don't be depressed on December the 26th because all those weeks of prep and just getting yourself all hyped up because the world does. Let's keep these things and ponder them in our hearts always. Because he did come. And he was born. And God did become man. And all of those prophecies were fulfilled. And in keeping this joy and this rejoicing and this glad tidings and this gratitude, let's make sure that we tell other people about it, not just in December, but on a hot week in July. Because he's worthy of it. Father, bless now the invitation. We thank you, Lord, that Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. That the angels went back. That the shepherds returned. That as far as we know, they never came back to that place where the baby lay. Because they didn't need to. And we thank you, Father, that we can keep these things and ponder them in our hearts always, and then rejoice and be glad and tell others of the glad tidings. May we be faithful to do it. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.